So will you pray with me? Father, you have said that in view of God's mercy, to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing. And so, Father, it's because we have been forgiven. It's because you have met us and we have met you that we offer ourselves. And may it not just be to keep to ourselves, but that we might tell the world of the greatness of who you are. Father, we worship you and we love you. We thank you for the opportunity to turn our heart's affections to you, to give you our praise and our worship, for you alone are worthy. And Father, I thank you that you desire to speak to us. And so, Father, by your Spirit, would you open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears, that we might see and hear and understand and be changed by your word. We love you, and we expect that you will do great things in us and great things through us. For your glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I would invite you to open the Bible with me, if you have one, on hard copy or phone, tablet, to Luke chapter 18. Last week, we looked at prevailing prayer and praying and not giving up, the parable of the persistent widow. And today, we're going to continue right after that in this last Sunday, this last message on prayer, by reading Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Today is Family Sunday, as we mentioned, so the children would stay here. We still have the nursery available for preschool down to newborn, and so look forward to that for their time there and for our time together. Do want to just give you, as you're turning there, a bit of news that we rejoice because the Lord has provided a few extra helpers in Children's Church, and therefore we have been doing our Family Sunday every fourth Sunday of the month, so every month we'd have it, but now we are just going to be doing it on the fifth Sunday when there is a five Sunday month, so we're doing it four times a year, and on those times we're going to actually increase it where the children will have more of a role, maybe helping hand out bulletins or collect the offering or other things as well that they might have some opportunity. So we will be doing another Family Sunday in March on the fifth Sunday, but then after that, not until there's another fifth Sunday. And while we rejoice in the new volunteers that have helped to make that possible, there are still lots of other opportunities. We could use more helpers, more teachers in children's church and Sunday school, as well as in the nursery, as well as that's a new need that we have as well. So you can talk to me, talk to Steph, and we'll make sure that you get in those places as the Lord would lead you in ways of service. So Luke chapter 18. Verses 9 through 14. I want you to pay attention to this because in a moment, we're going to have a skit by three of our children. And I want you to be able to listen to this so that as they put this skit on, you'll be able to identify who represents who. There's going to be a quiz after, okay? All right, so here we go. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about or to himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So if the three children would come up at this time, we're going to help us with this skit this morning. So here is the scenario of this skit, and I'll introduce them to you. So Cece, she is going to play the character called Cece. Okay, so Cece, come on right here in the middle. Okay, all right. And this is Ish. And Ish is going to play the character called Ish. Okay? And this is James. And James is going to play the character called Tony. No, you're going to play James. Now, this is completely a representation. This is not the way at least one of these children is. And I hope you'll figure out what that is, okay? So, when it's your turn, come on up here and you can speak. Okay? We're in the cafeteria at lunchtime, and ready and action.
That's my bag of chips.
Ooh, I do.
Give them to me.
No, give them to me. Don't listen to him. Give those delicious chips to me. After all, it should be a no-brainer to give them to me.
Why should I?
What kind of question is that? It would be the biggest mistake of your life. I deserve those chips way more than he does. I got an A-plus on my math test, and he barely got a C. I have the new Yeezy Boost that cost $450. His sneakers are not even a popular brand and are falling apart. I destroyed him in a video game last week. I don't know what you would do if you were that bad at video games. Ha, and I got invited to Joey's birthday party. He's the most popular kid in school. There's no way he was invited because he's not even close to being cool enough. It must be terrible to be a loser. And if you don't choose to give him me the chips, then you probably are a loser too.
You can give him the chips. That's all right. I know I'm not the most popular or smartest or best dressed or best at video games. I thought it would be nice to have a bag of chips because my parents are not able to buy snacks like that. But I'm glad that I have some food to eat and that you're my friend. Go ahead and give him the chips. He really wants them.
Awesome. Give me the chips.
No way. I'm giving them to James. After all you said about him and... No. No way I would give them to you.
What?
You were really mean to him? To James and me? Saying that I would be a loser if I gave them to James. You are a really nice person, and I'm glad to be your friend.
All right, good job, guys. Thank you very much for doing that skit for us. We appreciate it. So, who do you think in that parable that James represented? The tax collector. And who do you think Ish represented? The Pharisee, yeah. And Cece, who do you think she represented? God, the one who listens and the one who gives these things good gifts to us. So thank you very much for doing that. Gives us a good launching off point for this message before us. And so, you know, if we're left between the two to choose from, I think most of us, if not all of us, would choose James for the chips. Because there's something in us that bristles against the arrogant, the proud, the mean, isn't there? And there's something in us that is drawn to the humble, to the kind, to those who do not think more about themselves than they need to. And so there's something about us that's drawn to the humble because I believe we're created, and I know we're created, the scriptures say, in the image and likeness of God. And so the things that God values are the things that we, even in our brokenness and of the brokenness of the world, they're the things that we're drawn to. We're drawn to the humble. We're drawn to the kind, and we bristle against the arrogant and the proud. And so thank you again for helping us to see that and give us a launching off point this morning as we talk about prayer, humble prayer this morning as we finish this series up. So in your sermon notes there, or in your bulletin, there's some sermon notes. I invite you to fill those in. There'll be some extra things to write, but let's walk ourselves through first as we would understand the parable. Let's understand the parable first. Let's talk about first the characters. Obviously, there's God, who is the one who is unseen in this. He is the one who is being called and prayed to. But the two specifically in the characters in this are the Pharisee and the tax collector. And so the Pharisee represents the person who, as Jesus, or as Luke records for us at the beginning, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. The Pharisee represents the person who was confident in their own ability to be righteous before God. They were the religious superstars of the day, and interestingly enough, everyone looked up at them and looked up to them as godly and full of knowledge. They were revered by the people. They were respected, and these Pharisees knew it. What's interesting in it, in this parable, is that for Jesus' listeners, the Pharisee would have been the hero. As Jesus begins to tell this parable, as he introduces a Pharisee, everyone would have been like, ooh, here's the good guy. Here's the one that we want to be like. Here's the one we want to model ourselves after, the Pharisee. Interestingly, it says in verse 11, when he prays, he says the Pharisee stood up and prayed about, or depending on your translation, to himself. Isn't that interesting? Jesus makes it very clear that the Pharisee is not praying to God. He's praying either to himself or he's praying about himself. And the things he's praying about are rather arrogant and conceited, aren't they? God, I thank you that I'm not like these other men. I thank you that I'm not like the robbers, that I'm not like the evildoers, that I'm not like the adulterers, and especially that I'm not like this tax collector. I'm glad I'm not like them. And God, let me tell everybody about myself too. I give a tenth of everything that I get, and I fast twice a week. For everyone to hear in the temple, he calls out, look how great I am. This is not what I'm like, and this is the good that I do. And for the religious people of the day, he would have been the hero. The tax collector very much would have been the villain that they would have heard, because tax collectors were the ones who had no ability on their own to have standing before God, and everybody knew it. They were some of the most hated people in all of Israel because they had agreed to work for the occupying force, the Romans, the ones who had come to take their land away from Israel. They were the enemy. They were also dishonest thieves who would charge people not just what they were required to charge by the Romans, but they would also, if it was you needed to pay $50 to Caesar for tax, nobody knew exactly how much it was, so they would come and they'd say in the back of their mind, I know they need that Caesar needs 50, and I'm going to get paid by Caesar for doing this, but Caesar doesn't care. And so they would say, it's $75. And they'd take the $50, and they'd get it to Caesar, and the other 25, they'd pocket themselves. Not only did they work for the enemy, but then they cheated their own people out of extra money. They were hated in Israel. Yet he is the one who prays to God and who stands at a distance and who beats his chest and he says, have mercy on me, a sinner. Stark contrast, isn't it? Yet for those first century Israelites who were listening to this parable, they would have most likely been siding with the Pharisee and thinking, Here's the hero. And ooh, here is the villain, the enemy, the tax collector. And so Jesus then gives them a surprise. We don't see this as much as a surprise because we read the whole thing and we have the whole picture. But for first century hearers, this would have absolutely shocked them that the tax collector in this parable, not the Pharisee, is the hero. The villain, in their minds, is the hero. And the one who is the hero in their minds turns out to be the villain. Verse 14 tells us this. I tell you that this man, speaking of the tax collector, rather than the other, the Pharisee, went home justified before God. Jesus surprises everyone, declaring that it's the tax collector who is justified and heard by God. Everyone would have been shocked. Here's the point. The point is that humble people are the ones who are welcomed by God. Humble people are the ones who are welcomed by God. With a simple statement, Jesus says at the end of verse 14, "For everyone who exalts himself," and in that skit, the character that Ish played really exalted himself, didn't he? Look how good I am at video games, and look at my expensive shoes, and look at how smart I am, and I got to go to the party of the most popular kid, and all of these things. And not only exalted himself, but tried to push down poor James. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who exalts himself, or he who humbles himself, will be exalted. It was James who humbled himself and who received the bag of chips. And who, by the way, wants to still keep them. What do you think? I think he could get them. What a shocking parable, isn't it? For us, it looks at it, we look at it, and it's like, that makes sense. But to a first century Jewish hearer, this would have rocked their world. Because it wouldn't have been the Pharisee who would have been the enemy. It would have been the tax collector. The Pharisee would have received what he needed, not the tax collector. In all of life, but especially in prayer, God requires an attitude of humility. Because ultimately, life is not about you and I. Life is about God. And there's only room in the universe for one God. And as much as we may think we might be him from time to time, the reality is we're not. And so God opposes the proud, and that kind of seems harsh at times, doesn't it? But if we set ourselves up and we say, I'm just as good as you, God, or I think I can do it, or God, you should be happy that I'm coming to you in prayer, or God, you must be really, really pleased at how good I am. When it's our attitude, why do we need God? Why do we even need him to hear us if we think we already have it together? The humble is the one who hears from him or receives from him. Because the humble person is the one who says, God, I don't have it all together. And God, I need you. And it's those people that the Lord is so turned to. It could be a real challenge, though, because even humility has the temptation to become prideful. Have you ever experienced that? Even in your humility, you have the temptation to become prideful. One writer by the name of Paul W. Powell said that pride is so subtle that if we aren't careful, we can become proud of our humility. He gave an example of the Sunday school teacher who was teaching her children about this parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And after going through and showing that it's the humble tax collector who received from God, and it was the Pharisee who God did not hear from, said, all right, children, let's bow our heads and pray. And she began to pray, children, let's bow our heads and thank God that we're not like the Pharisee. It's so easy, even in our humility, to become prideful. God, I thank you. I'm so humble. Humility is such a challenge. But yet it's our humble heart before the Lord that allows us to be heard from him. A few lessons to talk through for a few moments as we apply this parable to our lives. So that, like last week, we would learn the lessons of prevailing prayer. This morning, that we would learn the lessons of humble prayer. We said some of these already, but I want to make them in kind of statement form, and we'll talk about them for a few moments as we move to conclusion this morning. The first lesson is this: God does not listen to the proud. That may seem overly simplistic, but it's absolutely true. God does not listen to the proud. Jesus says that the one who was heard and was justified was not the proud, self-confident Pharisee, because proud, self-confident people who trust in themselves really have no need of God. So he doesn't listen to and answer them because they don't need him. They've got it all figured out already. It's a heart attitude. As I said earlier, there's only room for one God in the universe. And if we're honest with ourselves, we're not him. Second lesson: God does not listen to the proud, but God does listen to the humble. Instead, God listens to those who are humble, who know that they don't have it all together, and who know that they need him. Friends, I want you to understand something about God. His ears and his heart are irresistibly drawn to those who are humble, those who recognize the brokenness of their lives, those who recognize that they need him above all else. See, we would expect, if the Pharisee was the hero, that God would look at the tax collector who was broken and who was pouring out his heart, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." We would expect, if the Pharisee was the hero, for God to look at the Pharisee or at the tax collector and cross his arms and say, "How dare you even approach me?" But that's not the heart of God. The heart of God is for all who are humble and contrite in heart, no matter how messy our lives are, as we come to him and we cry out to him for help and for mercy, that he is irresistibly drawn to the broken and to the contrite and to the humble in heart. It's the heart of God. God hears and God listens to the humble. Third lesson: humility comes from a right view of God. Humility comes from a right view of God. In this parable, the Pharisee thought that he was great because he compared himself to someone. Who did he compare himself to? To the tax collector, and to the thief, to the adulterer, to all of these people, these robbers, evildoers, adulterers, and the tax collector. He was comparing himself to them instead of, like the tax collector, who was comparing himself to who? God. See, when we have a right view of God, it gives us a right view of ourselves. If I look at you and compare myself to you, I'm going to have a faulty view of myself, because God is the one we need to compare ourselves to. Think about it this way. I'm 6'1¾", almost 6'2". And so when I'm around my children, I'm pretty tall. When I'm around people that are shorter than I am, I feel pretty tall. And so I can walk around all day. If I'm around children or people who are shorter than me, I can walk around all day saying, "I am tall." Right? Because I'm comparing myself to people who are shorter than I am. Now, when I visit with my brother, who is 6'11", and when I went out to visit my brother when he was in college playing basketball for the University of Nebraska, and for the weekend, I hung out with the basketball players, and I was by far the shortest person in the room. Now I begin to realize I may be tall, but I'm not that tall. These guys are tall. See, the greatest way for us to develop humility in our lives is to develop a proper right view of God. When we begin to understand how powerful, how perfect, how holy, how just, how pure in his love, pure in his mercy, pure in his grace, how willing he is to forgive when he is sinned against and wronged, I begin to see myself for the brokenness of who I am. And when I see the perfection and the greatness and the beauty and the majesty and the awe and the wonder of God, I begin to see myself for just how small I am. And when I begin to see myself for just how small I am, when I come to God in prayer, it's not, hey, God, here I am. Aren't you happy I'm coming? God, I'm so grateful that I'm not as bad as that guy. And God, I'm thankful that you've given me all of this and I'm so wonderful. It's God, in view of you, oh, how I need your mercy. Oh, in view of you, oh, how I need your grace. Oh, in view of you, I don't deserve to come into your presence, but you give me the right to come into your presence. And so I come just so grateful and so thankful that you give me the right to come to you. But it all starts with humility, an attitude of humility. It comes from a right view of God. One last thing I want to say about that. I love that song that we sang this morning, God is so good. Built off of the chorus that's been around a while, put some new lyrics to it to add to it. I love that song. It was actually the first time I've ever heard that song. But it really blessed me and made me think about this, because at the end of that, it talks about I'm anointed, I'm loved, I'm forgiven, all of these things. All of those things come because God gives them to us, not because we earn them or deserve them. And humility can have an ugly side of it, in which we view ourselves as, oh, I'm worthless and I'm miserable and I'm just a wretch and all of these things. And we can get stuck in this, I'm not worthy of the goodness and the love of God. And we can push that and speak of that as humility. And oh, I'm not worthy. And we stay there. And that turns into this like ugly side of pride. If we stay there, we have the same heart issue as the Pharisee. But if we can acknowledge who we are in the greatness, in view of the greatness of God, but then come and say, but Jesus, this is who you say I am. And you say I'm worthy of the love of the Father, and you say I'm worthy to be forgiven, and you say I'm worthy, and you've given me power and authority in Christ and all these things, and all of this comes because of you. Oh, man, without you, this is who I am, but with you, this is who I am. And it still brings me to the place where I say, oh, God, I'm in so in need of you, but I'm so thankful for all that you've done for me. Holding those two in balance humbles us, but also gives us a right view of ourselves as we get a right view of God. Humility comes from a right view of God. Last lesson. Humility then helps us to pray rightly. Humility helps us to pray not because I am something amazing, and therefore God should listen to me and answer me. Kind of like, I don't know if you notice this, a lot of these sports guys, or it's really in any realm, but you see these people getting, scoring a touchdown, making millions of dollars to score a touchdown, and then they run into the camera and they start pounding their chest like they did the greatest thing ever. You just got paid $10 million to do that. Go put the ball down and go back to your bench. And I'm a sports guy, so here where I'm coming from. But don't you see that? You see this, oh, I am great. And praying rightly can come to that place where I come into the presence of the Lord and just say, look at how wonderful I am. Look at all the things I've done for you, Lord. Look how great I am, wonderful, powerful. You must be so happy that I'm in your presence. And that can cause us to not pray rightly. That's the Pharisee prayer. But that humble prayer of just saying, Lord, this is who I am. I'm in need of you. I'm a sinner in need of your mercy. Without you, I have no hope, but you have given me so much, and I'm grateful. Lord, I just come to you with great confidence and great joy and great celebration. And I depend on you, for you are good, and I love you. Humility, out of a right view of God and a right view of ourselves, helps us to pray rightly before him. Humble prayer. May we learn those lessons, that God does not listen to the proud, but he listens to the humble. And that humility comes from that right view of God, which gives us a right view of ourselves and helps us to pray rightly before him. It's all about heart attitude that gets expressed in the way that we pray. Many years ago, Frederick the Great, who was the king of Prussia, visited a prison and talked with each of the inmates who were there. And there were endless tales of innocence, of misunderstood motives, and of exploitation. Finally, the king stopped at the cell of a convict who remained silent. And Frederick the Great said, well, I suppose you're an innocent victim too. To which the man said, no, sir, I'm not. I'm guilty, and I deserve my punishment. Frederick was amazed after hearing all of these stories of these other inmates, and he turned to the warden and said, release this rascal before he corrupts all these fine and innocent people in here. And that day, the one who received mercy was the one who acknowledged his need, the one who humbled himself before the king. He was the one who was granted mercy. Friends, I hope as we've walked through this series on prayer that we've come to see, to some degree, the heart of the Father, that he loves his children and that he welcomes his children to pray and to ask. He will not turn us away, especially as we come with humility. We can come with great confidence, knowing that our God loves us. He's demonstrated in Jesus, and he welcomes us into his presence through him. May we approach him with humble confidence, knowing that he hears us as we humble ourselves before him for help in our time of need, as well as for intimate relationship with God. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Father, that we can stand before you and say, have mercy on me, a sinner, knowing that you welcome us and you say, you are worthy to come into my presence because of Christ. Thank you that as we humble ourselves, that you say, you are worthy of my love. I've chosen you. Lord, may these realities lead us to prayer that would be right as we would seek your face with humility, knowing that you oppose the proud, but that you exalt and give grace to the humble. Speak to our hearts, Father, and may it influence and affect the way that we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
I encourage this often, but I just want to reemphasize it for this closing song of worship together. I just want to encourage you to worship in any way that you feel led. Don't stand just because feel that that's what you're supposed to do. If you feel led to stand during your worship, then stand. If you feel led to sit, then sit or kneel or come to the altar or pray or just listen. Just whatever it is that you're needing for this final song of worship together, I encourage you to do so.
See you. became flesh, bore my sin and death. Now you're
expect, but may we be like the tax collector who came and who humbled himself before the Lord, who acknowledged his need and his sin, knowing with great confidence that God gives grace to those who humble themselves, that he exalts those who humble themselves. May with great confidence you humble yourself and come into his presence, knowing that he never rejects those who come to him in humility. May the Lord bless you with an increase of humility and with boldness and confidence in who he has made you to be in Christ, so that in that proper view of him and proper view of yourself, you might approach his throne of grace with boldness and confidence for help in your time of need. May the Lord bless you with his peace and with his great love. Go in his name. Amen.
March. Okay, yeah.